You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
So, Tammy, we are talking about the top 10 questions to know if you were ready to buy.
Right.
Covered 1 through 5.
Doesn't include a magic 8-ball.
No, it does not include the magic 8-ball. Shaking it up and see what the solution is.
Right.
A fortune cookie is not the way to go.
That would be good, though, right now.
Rock, paper, scissors with your spouse.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Tammy, number 6 on your list.
Yeah. How do you plan to find an agent? Because this is super, super important.
It is really important. And some people will have an agent that they know through some connection.
Right. Okay,
there are 8,500 licensed agents in our metro area. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
But many of them don't do it full-time. Many of them haven't done tons of transactions where they have the repetition of deals to make sure that you're well-represented. And I would advise, don't use somebody just because you have an obligation that you know them.
That's true, like a family member.
Right.
Is that what you're getting at?
Absolutely. Just because you have a family member, and a family member is even tougher, but let's say you have a connection where you know somebody, but you may not be 100% comfortable that they are a pro at what they do.
Right.
This is where choosing the right agent is really, really important. And that's
important.
Part of the reason I have some of the top realtors in St. Louis on our show is I want to vet them out. I want to know, I want to know not just the ones that are closing the most business, because that doesn't always translate into the best service.
Right.
Okay, I want to know the ones that are going to be able to represent the clients extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're going to always have the client's best interest at heart.
Right.
They're going to know the ins and outs of the contracts. Okay, they're going to make sure that you're protected when you're buying your next house,
right?
Or even your first house.
So
you have
Googling,
to choose a
pro. Googling may not be the best idea on this situation.
Right. I mean, some people choose off some of the websites out there, which just means an agent is paying to be on that website.
Right.
In most cases.
So I think they should call you.
All right.
To
if you
get
want
this list.
Yeah, if you want a recommendation for a good agent, get in contact with me. You could text or call me, 314-472-DOUG. Okay, 472-3684 are the numbers for that. Text me or call me, and let me know the area you want to buy in. I want to know the price range and a few important questions to make sure do you have a house that you need to list? Okay, are you just looking to buy? Are you doing both?
Right.
What's your situation? And I'll make sure you get matched up with the right agent. Or if you're using an agent and you want to know about them, you call me about that too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to let you know what I know about that agent.
Mm-hmm.
Cautiously, of course.
Transactions go, and that would be helpful.
Right, absolutely. Tammy, number 7 on your list.
How much do you plan to save for a down payment? Now, that's something you deal with on a daily basis. Let's see. I got $5 in my pocket. How about this?
All right, how much are you going to save for down payment? This is where misinformation really comes in, because there are a lot of people out there. 22% of renters still believe that you have to have 20% for down payment.
Mm-hmm.
22% of renters believe that.
Okay, well,
that's major misinformation. I mean, how do you plan to save for down payment? Well, first thing I'd say, be budgeted. Budget yourself to be able to save for down payment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or, are you going to get a gift from a relative?
Right.
That's
good
common
mom,
too.
Dad.
You can do down payments even as a wedding registry. For a down payment registry with your wedding.
That's a cool idea.
It's a very cool idea. I think a lot of people, rather than buy you your third blender, would rather give you some money to be able to buy your first house.
Right.
I think that's a great way to do it. So how much down payment does it take? Okay, well, the least amount of down payment would be either a USDA loan or a VA loan. It's probably the most common. It would be no money down.
Oh, okay.
So you could still get into those without any money out of your pocket.
Okay.
Okay, a USDA loan, which is a rural development loan, has to be more of a rural area. Now, all of Wentzville just opened up to be eligible for USDA loans, but when we do them out in Troy, some in New Mellie, areas like that, those are USDA eligible. That's a fantastic loan. I love that loan. The next step would be 3.5% down on an FHA loan. Still one of the most popular loans for first-time home buyers would be an FHA loan. It's a great situation, fantastic interest rates for them. Your credit requirements on that are not anywhere; they're nowhere near as strict as what you get on a conventional loan.
Sure.
If you can put at least 5% down and you have good credit scores, then a conventional loan is going to be your best option.
All right.
Okay, so that's how you're going to save for down payment. If you want a $200,000 house and you want to put 5% down, okay, you better save $10,000.
I see. Okay.
Okay, and you also for down payment you can borrow against your 401k plan. You can borrow against an IRA. You can sell an asset. Okay, some people have built up, you know, they may have some hobby with a, you know, your guitar collection, sell it and be able to buy.
Oh, wives, be careful with that one.
yeah, don't sell it for your husband.
Be on the same page with that.
All right, so does that give some creative ideas about how to come up with down payment?
Yes, right. That's awesome. So the other one that I think this one is a big one, too, is how much will you pay for closing costs? This is question number 8.
Right.
How much will you pay for closing costs? And that's always very confusing. And now you guys have a lot of rules around all of this now.
Yes. So number 8 is how much you pay for closing costs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's a pretty big variable here. And I'll say that where the rules are around it is when it comes to how it gets disclosed.
Right.
Okay. So how the closing costs get disclosed to you, there are some very strict rules around it, because once it's disclosed, now the lenders have to jump through a lot of hoops to make sure that the estimates they give you are very accurate, or they're responsible for the variance in a lot of those areas.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you have an agent that tells you this is what your closing costs would be, I would say that that's a flag for you.
Right. In most cases, real estate agents shouldn't have anything to do with what your closing costs are going to be. The smart agents will leave that to the buyer to figure that out, and leave it to the more, you know, the relationship the between lender. The buyer mm-hmm. and their lender.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I just had a friend that happened to, and I'm not going to mention the agent's name, but it was an unfortunate situation, because then it put the agent in a bad situation, and then the lender, she didn't know who to believe. And so you really need to stick with the lender on this.
Okay, so let me give you an example on when it comes to closing costs. You have to separate closing costs from prepaid expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, prepaid expenses would be the money that it takes to establish your escrow account for your taxes and your insurance, and that also includes the money that you pay of interim interest from the day you close until the end of that first month, and then you skip your next month's payment.
Right.
Those are prepaid expenses. Those won't vary from one lender to another.
Right.
Those are going to be identical wherever you go. They're going to vary by the tax amount of your house.
Right.
And then whatever your insurance quotes are, which you can shop.
Right.
Okay. And people can throw the estimates way off by underestimating things like insurance, because the lender's not responsible for that.
Right.
So making sure you get an accurate quote of insurance pretty early on is very important. Now, one of the things I recommend is have the seller pay your closing costs for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In most cases, that's better. So let's say you have 20% that you want to put as a down payment.
Mm-hmm.
It's still better to negotiate in to have the seller pay it. Let's say you have $5,000 in closing costs and prepaids. Ask the seller to pay that for you.
Right.
And that way you're coming up with only your 20% down, not your 20% plus your closing costs and prepaids.
Mm-hmm.
Better to have the seller work it in. And you just have to know that if you have the seller pay those things for you, think from the seller's perspective about their net on the sale of the property. If you would have offered them $200,000 for the property without them paying closing costs, and you need them to pay $5,000 for you, then you better offer them $205,000 so that their net is still what you would have originally offered.
Right, I got it.
So, you know, if they have a good agent that's representing the seller, they're going to help them sift through those offers to compare the net value from one contract to another. So one person's not asking for closing costs, another is.
Right.
What's the net that the seller's going to get?
Right.
That's the important number to get to.
Okay.
And there's going to be a lot of varying opinions from agents on that.
Sure.
You know, some agents may not appreciate that advice, because they'd prefer to probably not have to negotiate that in if possible. But I just think it's smart financially for a large majority of people. Not everybody, but for a large majority of people, it's smart to have the seller pay those costs.
Okay, we have 2 more and we have 2 minutes. So let's check this out. Are you planning to attend any open houses? Now, with my mom and dad, we attended a lot of open houses. 18 to be exact.
Well, you guys bought a lot of houses.
Oh, we did.
You guys like to move frequently. You guys were like
my
gypsies.
My mom and dad like to move frequently.
So open houses, I mean, it's a great way to see the inside of these houses and compare them with, and there's a difference between an open house and a showing.
Right.
Okay, your agent, your buyer's agent can show you houses. That's not an open house. Open houses are typically most commonly on Sunday afternoons.
It's a small party.
Yeah, and if there's a... Yeah, exactly, a small party. If there's a house that... If there's a neighborhood you like, you may be able to see 5 or 6 houses in a 2-hour period of time by going to open houses. Great way to see several of them.
Right.
And it's also a good way to meet some agents inside of those houses if you don't have an agent yet.
Right, exactly true. Very true. And the final one, number 10, do you have a move-in strategy? And if it's asking Doug and I to help you move... count us out.
It's not a good strategy.
No.
Yeah, that strategy won't help.
We don't have time.
Yeah, our kids won't even be much of help on that, will they?
No.
We have one or two that might help.
Yeah.
Yeah, so move-in strategy, what does that mean? Are you going to have professional movers do it? Are you going to get, you're going to use your pickup truck and your brother to do it?
Right.
Are you going to run a U-Haul, get all your buddies together and give them a 12-pack of beer?
Right.
What's your move-in strategy?
Right.
Be organized on that so that you know exactly how you're going to do it.
Exactly.
When you see these first-time home buyers, they don't have that much stuff yet. It's still pretty
easy
to move.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, it's still pretty easy to move.
Right.
You see somebody that's a move-up buyer where they have a house to sell and they're buying another one. Sometimes you have to put all your stuff in storage because you don't buy your next house before your first one sold.
Right.
So you better have a strategy for that too. So that is number 10 on the list. If you want to see the list of these top 10 items, so the top 10 questions to know if you're ready to buy, visit DougHaldeman.com. It's DougHaldeman.com. Print out this list so that you and your spouse can go over this, or you can go over it by yourself, and get in contact with us if you want to be able to get pre-approved for the loan, if you want to be able to walk through these steps to know if you're ready to buy. Reach out to us right away. So, Tammy, coming up, we're going to have two agents in our office that I've had in my office before, but two agents that are just considered some of the top professionals in St. Louis. We're going to have Carmen Gassard and Carla Borgard from Coldwell Banker Gundaker that have a lot of experience between them, and they're going to share their wealth of knowledge with us and with our listeners. You'll listen to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.